The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
And welcome back to the First Cut Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Kyle Porter. I'm Chip Patterson. PGA Championship going to get started here in less than 24 hours. So we go live to our man on the scene.
It's Kyle Porter.
You're in Farmingdale. You're at Bethpage Black. It is buzzing. I can hear it. You've been on CBS Sports HQ about 19 times in the last 4 hours. You're putting in work right now, my man. And you can watch Kyle, by the way. Our coverage, CBS Sports HQ, CBSSportsHQ.com. You can get it on the CBS Sports app. Going to have you all the different angles. And then, of course, this is on CBS. You'll be able to watch it, CBS, CBSSports.com, for the action Thursday through Sunday. How you doing, man?
I'm good. So we did our Wednesday Masters pod from location still unknown. I don't know where I was there. This week, Wednesday PGA, we're in the lunchroom. I'm at a table by myself. So this is a tradition unlike any other, apparently. Major championship Wednesday pods at random locations.
Well, you sound like you are less fearful of who might come around the corner and kick you out.
Yes.
So I'm glad
yes.
that you seem a little more relaxed.
No, I am not. I'm not fearful of any of the media members sitting at the lunchroom right now.
So you get a little bit of space for your head during travel. I always like that, right? Like you just kind of you do a lot of waiting, a lot of just sort of sitting around, letting your mind wander. As we sit here approaching the beginning of tournament play, what's one of the things that's been buzzing around in your mind that's almost like a new revelation or a new thought in terms of what's about to unfold in New York?
You know what I keep coming back to?
What?
Is Francesco.
No one's talking about it.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got three straight top tens, won the Open, almost won the Masters, four top tens at majors in the last, how many is that? Six, I think.
Right.
Why are we not talking about this? Like, why do we keep going Koepka, 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 Tiger, Tiger, Koepka, Tiger, Koepka? Like, why not Molinari? I mean, I know why, but, like, that's the thing I keep coming back to. I keep coming back to that. I keep coming back to Spieth. I sat in his presser. It's not there, man. Like, I get it, like, and I applaud him for, like, trying to, like, will his way back into the, you know, the state that he was in 15 and 17, which, by the way, he considers 17 like a better golf than 15.
Interesting.
And I think we always look back at 15. We're like, oh, five wins, two majors, won the Tour Championship. He talks about 17. Like that's what he references when he references his best stuff. But I just think we're like not talking. We're still not talking about the Slam at all, which I think is pretty intriguing. But yeah, Molinari is my thing that I keep coming back to.
So you've changed your pick about 12 times.
Oh yeah, at least.
Has it reached a point where you would even consider changing your pick, or like you're basically conjuring up the idea that Molinari is that the winner that no one's talking about isn't going to be a first time winner, and it's not going to be someone sort of creeping up from off the radar, that the winner that no one's talking about might be someone who's won in the last calendar year and competed for major championships all the way through. Like the idea we've hit a point in golf where your wild cards and your off the radars are certified major winners that are among the best golfers in the world.
Isn't that weird?
Because we're not used to the top tier being this crowded.
Yeah, and it's a product of like the media environment, right? Because we talk about Ricky way more than we talk about, you know, well, even Koepka to this point, but especially like Molinari or, you know, not a great major winner, but Jimmy Walker, somebody like that. So yeah, that is pretty fascinating. My thing with Molinari though is like, so you win at Carnoustie, you almost win Bellerive, or you're up there at Bellerive, you almost win Augusta. Those are very different courses. So I don't think that he is somebody that is going to be limited by the course or like the way things are set up. I think he just like, kind of like John Rahm, I think just he can just play anywhere. They just show up and like, you're the guy, you know?
So what's the, go ahead.
Well, one of the big talking points from players this week has been the importance of accuracy off the tee. And who can get into a zone better with that stuff than Molinari? I don't know why we're not talking about it. Like he should be the favorite. Make him the favorite. put him at 7-1. I don't care, but let's talk about it.
If Molinari has to go head to head against let's say Molinari is jammed up near the top of the leaderboard with Dustin Johnson, a Brooks Koepka, let's throw in a Tony Finau, and then a Tiger, because why not Tiger? Are you going into Sunday being still thinking, maybe, I mean, obviously you've had 54 holes to consume, but is that the kind of idea where you're like, well, I could see Molinari besting all of them in a final round to win it?
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. It depends on how they got there. And this was – so I go back to DJ at – I think he was at Shinnecock. So he's near the lead. He wasn't – the final pairing was Finau and Berger, I think. And then I think it was DJ and Koepka in the second-to-last pairing.
Right.
But the way that DJ got there was by just putting lights out. And it's just – it's not sustainable, right? And so I think the way that you get to a 54-hole lead or co-lead or within striking distance, I think that matters, like, for who the pick is on Sunday. And so I think that people don't care about that. They don't look at it. They don't look and see, like, has this guy gained, like, 11 strokes with his putter over the first 3 days? And if so, what does that mean for Sunday? Well, it means it's not – it's just – if it's sustainable, then it's, like, historic. You know, and so I think the path to get to lead to 54 hole contention matters more than maybe people realize.
What are some of the other talking points that you've noticed resonating from some of the players since arriving?
What the most important club in the bag is, and everybody's been saying driver, but Brant Snedeker and Jordan Spieth both said putter, and the reason why is because Spieth said this in his presser. He's like, you can make so many putts on these greens. He was like, they're not that hard. Like, they're not – he's like, there's a couple that are difficult. But he said they're in such good condition that, like, if somebody gets hot – like, let's say Ian Poulter gets hot for, like, you know, 36 holes. Then all of a sudden, he's up 4 going into Saturday, and you're like, oh, okay, you know. And so I think that part of it – because you get it at, like, some of these U.S. Opens – and the greens are so hard that it almost doesn't – it doesn't matter if you're a good or a bad putter. Everybody is just sort of like the same because you can't make putts. You can just try to get it within like 2 feet, which all these guys are you know, like the variance there is smaller in terms of being good or bad at it than it is at making putts. And so I think that part of it could be intriguing over the first couple of days.
You mean like those Pinehurst greens where it just doesn't matter whether or not you're a good putter, you're just going to miss?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter whether there's a leaf in your line, you're going to miss.
Yeah. But like here, like, I mean, this was, I haven't played the course obviously this week, but Spieth was like, you can make a lot of putts out here. So does Kevin Kisner get hot? Does Phil get hot? Like, I don't know, but I think it's going to, and one of the things that the guys have been talking about as well is like it's going to lead to a bunched up leaderboard. And we see this at PGAs. That's not that's not super noteworthy because soft courses lead to bunched up leaderboards and fast and firm leads to spread out leaderboards. So I think you're going to get bunched up. I think you might see some lower scores than maybe we thought. And then maybe it goes a little bit higher on the weekend.
So we have been a little bit in lockstep and consensus here with the idea that the, you know, 8, 9, 10 under is going to be what our winning score is going to be. Having been there, number one, thoughts on the weather, but number two, have you adjusted at all those scoring expectations?
No, I think 9 wins it. Do you hear that noise in the background?
Is that, what's that? They're rolling out lunch?
Our tent might be blowing over. I don't know. It's getting dicey in here. It's windy. Speaking of the weather, it's cold here, man. I mean, it's like, it looks like it should be warm. It'll look warm on TV because you're like, oh, it's the summer. It's, you know, it looks great. It's like chilly. And so I think you're going to hear like, oh, the ball's not going as far. You know, it's bad club. Like, I think you're going to hear a lot of that this week. But no, I think 9 under, because I think that like, even if you see somebody make a bunch of putts on like a Thursday or Friday or even Saturday, I think you're going to see whoever that is maybe come back a little bit on the weekend. Did you see what Koepka said about like splitting the field in half and then like eliminating other guys in terms of like the way he wins majors? Did you see his quote on that?
No, I'm here for it. What? Please feed me.
So he said, well, let me pull it up because it's I've got it right here. So he said, what is there, 140 guys in the field? And the PGA guy goes, actually, there's 156. And he doesn't even know like how many people he's playing against. But he said, okay, 156 in the field. So you figure at least 80 of them I'm just going to beat. From there, you figure about half of them won't play well. So you're down to maybe 35, which hashtag math. And then from 35, some of them, the pressure is going to get to them. It only leaves you with a few more, and you've just got to beat those guys.
So sick.
Yeah, he's like,
why am I becoming a Brooks Koepka fan? That is not – I did not expect 3 years ago that I would find myself not rooting for Brooks Koepka. I mean, I'm rooting – my pick is Dustin Johnson, and I'm always rooting to be right. But I am absolutely, like, welcoming – the Brooks as, you know, one of the most like dominant players in the world of this era. Like I am open arms to this, especially when I hear him. And look, maybe that was some Florida State math right there. That's fine. Absolutely, yeah, coming back with like him just like a tactician, like, oh no, nah, I'm not that intimidated. I just got to beat these 20 guys, and I'll be good.
He also said, I sometimes think the majors are the easiest ones to win. Half the people shoot themselves out of it, and mentally I know I can beat most of them. And from there, it's those guys left, who's going to play good and who can win. That was before he did the Florida State math.
He's the greatest major golfer of this era.
He kind of is.
But
like, I got into it with Sean Martin this morning. He's like, I think Koepka could end his career with like 3 majors. He's like, he just said who knows? You know, we were talking about Brando came out yesterday and said like, you know, maybe, you know, but he kind of like tripled down on his Masters take of like, you know, is Koepka actually that good? And his point is like that he doesn't win like non-majors, but like I feel like for so long like we've been saying, oh well, these are the only ones that matter anyway, so it's hard to have it both ways.
Well, I mean my ultimate retort there, and I need to pull up the stat if I'm gonna retort often, but was it he has 14 runner-ups in non-majors?
Is that the number?
It is double digits second place finishes or tied for second place finishes in other events in his career. It is not as though he is non-competitive at non-majors. He hasn't been winning, and like whatever that last little bit of, you know, mental energy that it takes that to convert a chance to win into a win, if you want to save that up for the majors and then be just logging top tens at all these other events, I think that is a respectable approach to professional golf in 2019.
I mean, it kind of is. So here was Brandel's quote. He said, "Is he truly a great player, a staggering talent, or is he in a great run? Tiger and Jack, they won regular events at the same clip they won majors. When you start to put the pieces of the puzzle together, this is very good stuff. I just need more evidence. I need more time." He won three majors that were more about power than they were about accuracy. Which, okay. This week, it will be equally about power and accuracy. Golf courses like this are a better measure of what type of player we're going to see. It's not like he won at, like, TPC Deer Run. He won at Shinnecock.
Right.
It's like a incredible, you know, it's like a great test of elite golf. Like I don't know. I can't go there.
As your mind drifts, actually, let's take a quick break, right? Real quick. Hear from our friends at TD Ameritrade. We'll be getting back into our picks to win top 10 locks and sleepers right after this.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, as you know, because you're listening to this podcast, PGA Championship Week, it's here. And CBS Sports, we are giving you tons of ways to follow all the action. Of course, we are bringing you the First Cut podcast from Bethpage here all week. We're covering the biggest stories in the lead-up tee-off. On Friday, we'll be having a weekend preview. On Sunday night, we'll be recapping it all. But check this out, too. On Saturday and Sunday, you can watch the tournament live stream in the CBS Sports mobile app and on CBSSports.com totally for free. You also need to check out CBS Sports HQ, as we have mentioned several times today, the free streaming sports network. It's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It delivers you the news, highlights, and in-depth analysis that you need. So tune in to watch us. Kyle and I will both be all over it before and after the round to break down who's moving up the leaderboard, the pairings to watch, and of course, what's going on with Tiger. We're always about that Tiger watch. It's available for free with CBS Sports. You don't have to pay for a subscription. You don't have to have a cable package. For real, it's free. $3.99. So download the CBS Sports app on your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, or Apple TV to start watching CBS Sports HQ today. Any other players that have come to the podium that have surprised you with some good quotes, whether it be for hashtag content or just for your own mental notepad?
What was that? Good quotes?
Oh, I mean, just like good tidbits, good thoughts.
Tiger talking about Daly was pretty funny. I know you wrote that yesterday.
That was hashtag content.
I don't know. I mean, there hasn't really been a ton. I feel like I'm just kind of ready for the golf to start. You know, I think leading into the Masters, you're just like, you're so overwhelmed with like everything that's going on. And this just feels like this tournament feels like it's so soon after that you're like, oh, wait a second. I haven't even recovered from the Masters yet. So I don't know. I am fascinated to see who wins this. I think this is a really I don't know if it's an interesting course, but I think it's a good test in ways that some other PGA Championship courses are not. Like Belrive last year, not a great course and probably not a great test necessarily, but I think this will be. And I think you're going to see, I think you're going to see some numbers, man. I think you're going to see some eights, some nines, some sevens. Like, I don't think it's going to be like a typical PGA Championship, which I think could make for some pretty compelling drama.
All right, let's start. Who's your pick to win?
Well, on my 12th flip-flop, I ended on Jason Day.
Why? Explain yourself.
I don't know. I don't even know why. I'm in my own head. The two Barclays that he played here, him and DJ tied for the best score of the guys that made the cut at both of those. So he's played well here before. He quietly has like two top tens at the Players and the Masters. Only him and DJ have top tens at both of those this year. So he's been in good form at the best events. He's won a PGA before. I don't know. I feel like in the same way we're not really talking about old Frankie, we're not talking about somebody like Jason Day very much either.
Jason Day in a position where he has that same opportunity to kind of elevate the way the conversation around him goes, because winning this, while it would be a second PGA championship, I think the second major championship and having them spread out by a little bit does a little bit more to look at his decade, because Jason Day first crashes onto the scene for us in at what, 2012?
2010? 2009 or 10, yeah.
Yeah, now he's been around a minute, and I think to be able to have that kind of sustained excellence, even among, you know, crack your jokes if you want, pull out the balloon so that he can inflate his ribs, health issues that Jason Day has battled throughout his career, I think to be able to have that kind of sustained legacy definitely changes the way that we talk about him. Are you nervous at all about the balloon? Are you going to be inflating the balloon for him?
If he's in contention on the weekend, I will be. I'll be inflating balloons on HQ if anybody wants to tune in to watch that. Just letting balloons into the Long Island air on Friday night and Saturday night. Just an ode to Jason Day.
Who do you have as your top 10 lock?
Who do I have? I think Rory.
Where's your head at with Rory right now?
Listen to this. Last night we go get dinner. It's me, Sean Martin, and our buddy Brian, who was hanging out with us. And he's got a podcast called The Hosel Jockeys, another golf pod. Great dude. Really liked him. Enjoyed our time. Our waiter said he came to Bethpage yesterday, and he goes – we started talking about, like, who do you want to win? Who do you want to, you know, who do you think's going to win? All this stuff. And Rory got brought up. He goes, yeah, he's not been playing that well, you know? And I'm like, oh, you didn't like the Players win or the eight top tens so far in nine events? Like, what does it mean for Rory to not play well? Does that just mean, like, he didn't finish first?
Yes. He did not win the Masters.
Yeah, that's what it means, right?
Yes. Like,
It's a binary outcome with Rory. Did he win the Masters or did he not win the Masters? And whatever that answer is determines like how people feel about him, which is insanity.
Well,
it's ludicrous.
He didn't win the Masters as the favorite. And not only didn't win the Masters as the favorite, but wasn't really a factor. And wasn't a factor when all of these other top players in the world were a factor, including Molinari, Tony Finau, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson. Like, the leaderboard was the who's got their stuff right now. And if the Masters is the only golf tournament that you've watched because the Players Championship was on Selection Sunday, you weren't watching in Mexico, you weren't watching at any of the other eight top tens, as you mentioned. I mean, I don't want to, you know, point fingers, but you and I were on a certain program together, and like the comment
about Rory going into it was like, and we know he's not, doesn't really have it together right now. Like, the narrative on Rory McIlroy completely ignores the 8 top 10 finishes and the players win. It is built almost entirely on him being the favorite heading into Augusta and then having him not be a factor in a historic Masters that everyone's going to remember forever.
So Lucas Glover is ranked number 16 on the PGA Tour in strokes gained this year. He's gaining 1.35 strokes per round on the field. It's really good. Really solid. Number 16. Rory has been twice as good as the number 16 guy on the PGA Tour. He's gaining 2.7 strokes per round. Twice as good.
He's playing well. He's playing well. Man, Rory is not a fan favorite.
I know. It's pretty crazy. He doesn't have it. I think it's interesting that he doesn't have any top 10s at PGAs since he won at Valhalla. Mm. 15, 16, 17, 18. No top 10s.
Mm. Why? That makes no sense.
It makes zero sense. Because Quail Hollow, he kills there. Bellerive, he should have dominated there. Where else? Baltusrol, whatever. 15 was Whistling Straits was kind of firm and fast, which is not necessarily his deal. But yeah, I just think he is. I don't know about easily, but clearly the best player in the world right now. And people are acting like he's like in the like wandering in the desert, like the Bird Box Spieth meme that I talked about.
Well, no, yeah, they're giving him the his game is in trouble like Spieth's is treatment.
Yeah, they are. Trust me, they are worlds apart right now.
So, my pick to win is Dustin Johnson. And you mentioned earlier, I mean, number one player in the world. Sweet pick, Chip. I know.
Yeah. Good. Hey, not all heroes wear capes. Just you're out on that limb. I respect it.
Out on that Dustin Johnson limb. But I do feel pretty good about it. And I want to go back to what you mentioned about sustainable, because the unsustainable putting did end up, you know, coming up short, as you mentioned, by the time we got around to the weekend. Right now, Dustin Johnson is fifth in strokes gained putting.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that part of his game just like, is that sustainable? Like, is he just in a place right now with his putter where Dustin Johnson is one of the 10 best putters on the PGA Tour?
No, but I don't think the regression will be what people think it is. I think he's a top like 40 putter, top right. 30 putter. Like, he's a really good putter. Like, that the narrative about like him, like, oh, he can't make a, you know, if he could putt, he'd win 10 majors. And it's like, well, no, he's a good putter. Like, he's not the best putter, but he's top 30, top 40, top 50. So even if he regresses, it's not going to be enough that it's going to matter that much, I don't think.
Because if people are going to be able to go and make putts, that was what almost gave me a little bit more confidence in the DJ pick. It's just like, well, DJ's been putting all right this season, and if these are greens where you can go and sink them, I could see some more unsustainable hot streaks on the greens for Dustin Johnson.
Well, here's the thing. Think about how close he is to winning both the Players and the Masters.
Oh, my goodness.
So he misses, I can't remember, like 4 or 5 putts on Sunday at the Players inside of 8 feet. I mean, it was a crazy, inside of 7 feet, maybe. I know he missed like 2 4-footers. He finishes T2 at the Masters, and you're like, wow, he almost won Mexico, Sawgrass, and Augusta. Like, not like a couple swings from that trifecta in the first 4 months of 2019. So I don't know. It's such a results based deal. Like, we only look at results. We only look at wins. But if you dig a little deeper, he's been pretty good. But the thing is, man, like, he's got to win some majors, you know, like, he's got the 20 wins. He's obviously just a freak, just super talented. But he's at an age where you start running a little low on time in terms of winning some of these major championships.
Opportunities.
Major opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else just been burning in your brain? Anything else that you've been scribbling down, or a golfer that you've been wondering about as we count down to the start of the action tomorrow morning?
No. We talked about Spieth. Nobody's talking about Xander.
That's my top 10 lock.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about Sergio. I loved that sleeper from you. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was a great call.
Hey.
He's playing great. He plays good at Bethpage. I think he'll like feed off the either just the negative energy from everybody up here who still hates him from like 02 and 09. Yeah, I don't know. I'm ready.
Six straight missed cuts. It has to snap sometime.
That'd be great just to get on his Wikipedia page and see cut, one. Just a one next to the... Trending. He's trending.
All those yellow squares throughout his entire career, and then all of a sudden, green and green with six cuts between them.
That would be awesome. I would love that. JT being out kind of stinks. I feel like he was flying under the radar a little bit. I keep saying all these guys who are flying under the radar. I think everybody that's not named Tiger or Koepka is flying under the radar.
Right.
It's all relative. I mean, you know, is Rory flying under the radar? I don't know. In my world, he sort of is, just because the content that I see is all Brooks and Tiger related.
Well, that's where it's at right now. That's where it's at. He is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Kyle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Chip.